podcast with Katie and Kiva. We're both NCT qualified breastfeeding counselors with 5 children between us and wide ranging breastfeeding experiences. On this podcast, we will be delving into some of the topics that come up most regularly when we talk to parents.
So in this episode, we're going to be talking about breastfeeding during pregnancy and what that might look like for you. It's a topic that, again, in our drop-in, would come up from time to time, and either deciding to try to conceive or finding out you're pregnant whilst you're still breastfeeding one of your babies, it can be quite overwhelming. In many women feel as though that's it, I have to stop. But what would you say to a mum that's discovered she's pregnant and she's feeding her, 18 month old?
I think it happens a lot more regularly than you would think, where women think that they can't get pregnant while they're breastfeeding. It's one of those myths that comes up quite a lot, isn't it? And, or maybe they've just sort of thought, oh, maybe we'll just try and see. And then they've fallen pregnant, maybe a bit unexpectedly. And so there is that panic that sets in when you think about, oh, I'm still feeding this child and this is my baby and this is
for us and this is how they sleep.
Yeah, there's a lot, maybe you've wanted to stop and you just haven't taken the plunge. Maybe your child has decided that they don't want to stop yet, or maybe it was just something that happened that you hadn't really thought about and it just suddenly you're in that situation. There's lots of different things that can be at play, but I think most people, especially if it's the second baby, so you've kind of just got used to having a child, you're settled with breastfeeding, you're settled with, your routine. Like you say, you can put them to sleep easily and help them with their
Everything's just
emotions.
Breastfeeding is the go-to parenting tool.
But what I would say is that, you don't necessarily have to stop if you don't want to, but it's definitely something you can sit on for a little while. Yeah. It's not something that you have to make a decision on straight away. There are quite a lot of myths around feeding and pregnancy, specifically around miscarriage. And then if you continue through pregnancy, early labor, but actually they're not true. No. There's a lot of research to say that that's can be coincidental. So, I really would strongly say, if think about what you want and think about what you think will work for your family.
And what certainly I didn't know whenever I fell pregnant with my second child and was still breastfeeding my first child was that your milk supply does dwindle and you can't continue your supply. You can't maintain your supply. But again, that in itself doesn't mean that you can't continue to breastfeed.
That's right. Yeah. So if your baby is younger than 12 months, then it could be an issue where, that you're their main source of milk. Mm-hmm. And if the baby is very, very young, then you would need to seek some advice about what the best thing to do is. But once a baby's over one and they're established on solids, their solids become much more important in their second year, then even if your supply does dwindle, it's really, there are other things happening. So a lot of breastfeeding a slightly older child is comfort and they'll want the milk, but if it's gradually decreasing, they won't really mind as much. I think the other thing that I didn't realize, I sort of was aware that the milk supply could dwindle slightly, but I wasn't aware that I would have milk for quite a while. I kind of assumed that it would just disappear almost overnight, along with the pregnancy test. it would just, as soon as you realize, then, that's it.
Everything changes.
Gone. That's not true either.
No.
Very much a gradual change.
Yeah, I suppose it's the pregnancy hormones that impact the milk. So I suppose as they get stronger within your body, your milk supply responds to that. So I know for me, with my 3 children, my eldest stopped partway through my second pregnancy, and that was their choice. And I was really quite thankful for it, just because I had reached that point. But my second pregnancy, or my third pregnancy, my second child was a lot more, she persevered a lot more. And that surprised me, because I expected her to follow suit.
Yeah, and that's, I suppose, different personalities, mm-hmm. different children, and can be lots of reasons for that. But it could just be that your second child was more of a comfort feeder than a milk feeder.
Yeah. And I suppose in a lot of breastfeeding stories, your child led in a lot of circumstances, and that's what I certainly hoped to do. But it's interesting, and so many women throughout their pregnancies that are breastfeeding experience so many different emotions and sensations alongside that.
Yeah, and there's also we're talking about the emotional and how the mother feels and also how the child feels, but there's also the physical.
Yeah.
So when a mother is breastfeeding but she's also pregnant, it can start to hurt, it can be painful, mm-hmm. and there can be a stretch of time where it feels unsustainable.
Yeah.
And that's really, really common. There's sort of a period of time which is a matter of weeks, mm-hmm. for most people, but it feels like it's daggers.
Yeah.
And there's a big amount of pain that comes with it, that you think, is this worth it? Mm-hmm. And then you start to think about, what decision am I going to make here? And often then it still can still be child-led, but sometimes then it's in the hands of the mother to make a decision. Mm-hmm. Either way.
So emotive, isn't it? Like, so much of breastfeeding, it goes so far beyond the physical milk provision. It's not just that black and white. And whenever you're pregnant and you're experiencing all those pregnancy emotions, then you're compounding them by breastfeeding emotions and hormones and everything that goes alongside that.
Yeah. And then, so if you do continue during that time and you decide, well, we'll just keep going and see where this leads for us, that what does it look like then when the milk dries up? Happens to a lot of women.
I think that's whenever their child really decides, are they going to persevere? And then it is that element of real comfort, the emotional support that the baby or child gets from breastfeeding, or they just get fed up because their buffets ran out. And either way, they're both very, I suppose, logical responses. And again, in my experience, both were so different that, like, I experienced I suppose in a lot of cases it's referred to as nursing aversion whenever I was quite far on in my pregnancy. And I know it makes me think that because I had expected, I'd be fooled by my son's weaning journey, I had expected my daughter to do the same. And whenever that didn't happen, and you're faced with the, oh, I'm going to have to decide this myself, rather than the child making that decision for the mum, it was tricky. And again, I think it's because breastfeeding isn't commonly seen, despite how much healthcare professionals want to see more of it. You know, even the midwives, maternity staff that I was engaging with were kind of like, oh wow, so that's interesting, and how's that going to work?
Yeah, so then they're looking forward to, okay, you're breastfeeding now, are you going to keep this going? Mm-hmm. As if you had made a choice about it. And so I think for a lot of mothers who find themselves in that situation, there's kind of a panic, mm-hmm. about, well, okay, the baby's going to be born anytime, or going to be born soon. and what happens and what does that look like when the baby's here and the baby obviously is very, very in need of the milk and a lot more in need, I guess, than the toddler because it's their only source of nutrition. And so that can be really daunting. And that thought about having two children and how you decide to feed both.
Yeah.
How do you manage that?
Exactly. And in cases like that, I think it's really important to reach out to people that have lived it and experienced it, because I don't think healthcare professionals would really, I mean, obviously the likes of lactational consultants and infant feeding coordinators would have more knowledge on this, but I would say regular midwives, GPs wouldn't know how it would look and how it would work. I remember being asked whether I needed to assign a breast to the newborn and a breast to my toddler.
I've heard that quite a lot. I think it can work for some people doing that, but you would need to get past the newborn stage, I think, for that to a good solution. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like you say, we don't really seem to have a culture here of breastfeeding two children at the same time. We don't really have a culture that people really breastfeed past a few months, really. And so a lot of people listening to this who are continuing breastfeeding, they will probably have come across a lot of comments about continuing to feed past 6 months or a year, and then to even consider feeding during pregnancy and maybe when the newborn is here. It's quite a strange concept to a lot of people. Yeah. And that's just the world we live in. I mean, we'd love to change that, but you know, we're trying.
Yeah. And it's very much like the returning to work. Oh, you're pregnant now, so you're done breastfeeding. Oh, it doesn't have to look like that again. But I think it needs to be a real decision for the mum, and being aware of those challenges that come along with either even just the practical challenges of breastfeeding a squirmy toddler while you've got a 9-month bump logistically is tricky.
Yeah, there's not a lot of space there. No.
You did change up your position slightly.
So then when a toddler is breastfeeding and, you know, they've continued through pregnancy, once the mother hits term, once the end of the pregnancy is nearing, there will be colostrum available. And so the toddler will start to get used to that too.
And that's so what I've read, tastes quite different to what they would have known as breast milk. And obviously it's not liquid like what they normally perceive milk to be.
Yeah, so they will be getting used to that change. And in a way, they are getting used to things are going to be a little bit different around their house and with mum and with other members of the family, you know, maybe taking over certain things like bedtimes. Mm-hmm. And there's sort of an argument there for it's helping the transition with a new baby. And so when the baby is born and there's a toddler there, a sort of a societal expectation that, you know, you wouldn't really continue that, you know, you try and stop that as soon as possible. It doesn't have to be like that.
No, it doesn't. And tandem feeding is a commitment. I mean, I feel as though every time we talk about breastfeeding, it's always like, well, it's a commitment and perseverance and all those words. But managing the dynamic of a newborn that needs to nurse all the time versus a toddler that sees their sibling nursing and wants to replicate that is challenging. And as you're getting more confident or getting your feet as a parent of 2-3 children, it can feel very intense and overwhelming.
Yeah, there's so much involved in having a newborn again that is really hard to visualize before you have 2 or 3. probably easier the more you have, but mm-hmm. especially when you go from one to two, you just have this, you have this one small person who really needs everything from you, and you do everything for them, and you have all of your time to devote to them. Mm-hmm. And then you're wondering, how are you going to be able to do this with a second one? And, you know, how do you split your time? And so the breastfeeding, if it does continue, could be a really good way just to reconnect with yeah. that toddler and give that time to them that mm-hmm. maybe they feel they're missing with mom.
I agree with that. It's a really nice kind of stops the craziness of that newborn stage that naturally you're going to get caught up in, but it can just, as you say, give you and your toddler that space that you both need to connect and journey together.
Yeah, you know, that's something really special. And if that is something that you decide to do, then that is something you can offer your child. On the same token, if it's something that you have decided halfway through pregnancy and you've decided, I'm done, I can't do this, I cannot turn the feed, I cannot do anything, mm-hmm. you will have other ways to connect with your toddler when the new baby's there. But it's really about thinking about what will work for your family, mm-hmm. what will work for your dynamic. And maybe for you, that is taking breastfeeding out of the equation for the toddler so that you can do yeah. other things with them. So there's no right answer.
No. But again, I think, you know, reaching out and hopping onto their drop-in, talking to other women that have found themselves in that position, so you can make an informed decision on, as you say, what fits best for your family.
Yeah, I think that peer-to-peer is where this really comes into its own, because it's something that a lot of women won't have anybody really to talk yeah. to about. And, you know, breastfeeding groups and drop-ins and those kind of support networks that are available online
are
mostly.
In those cases, because again, I think if they were to ask, you know, their doctor or someone else that just doesn't have that understanding, they would automatically be told, no, you have to stop. You have to stop breastfeeding because X, Y, and Z. And I think giving yourself the opportunity to get all the facts together, process what's best for you.
Yeah. And the truth is about, you know, the safety of breastfeeding in pregnancy is that if you don't have a high risk pregnancy, if there isn't anything that's stopping, there are issues where breastfeeding could have an effect,
yeah.
but they would be quite few and far between. Mm-hmm. You know, you're thinking about the kind of thing that if you're being told by your medical professionals not to have sex, then maybe you're in the kind of that small box of yeah. okay. lots of things in pregnancy
Let's
could be
consider
dangerous.
Consider our options.
Consider your options, have a think about it. But again, even if you're told something like that, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to stop breastfeeding, but it's more of a, how do I feel about this? What else is going on?
Exactly.
And that peer-to-peer, like you say, is the most important sort of aspect of that, because you can really maybe find somebody who's been in a similar situation to you.
You've been listening to NCT and I Presents Boobcast with Katie and Kiva. Join us next time for more breastfeeding chat. If you enjoyed this podcast, leave us a review and subscribe. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram and find out more about our courses on the NCT website. This podcast is brought to you in association with NCT Northern Ireland and funded by the HSC Public Health Northern Ireland Agency.